Daf Yudalid Omid Aleph, and we're up to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, which I would say is about 15 lines down from the top, and the first word in the line is Shlosha. So see if you can run your finger up and down, and you'll find a line that starts with the word Shlosha. Now, just to summarize, what we had so far is a machlokes in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis about the dimensions of a korah, and the Tanakhama was a little bit more machmir. He said that the width of the korah is a minimum of a tefach, which allows it to hold on to a half brick, which is an ariach, that's 1.5 tfachim. And Rabbi Yehuda was even more mekil, and he dropped one of the conditions that the Chachamim insisted on, and that is the strength of the korah. It has to be, according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, it has to be strong enough that it could hold on to this brick on a permanent basis, despite the weight of the brick. And Rabbi Yehuda said, I don't care about that. And he has this principle called Roeno Soki'ilu. Roeno Soki'ilu means that even if it's made of straw, I see it as if it was made of metal and it's kosher. He even goes as far as to say that if you have an archway instead of a flat, straight across from side to side, coastal to coastal korah, that's also okay. And again, he applies the principle of Roeno Soki'ilu, and he imagines as if it was a square, as if it was flat, I'm sorry. And finally, he has that case of a log, which is totally round, and he says, as long as the hekef would be shlosha tefachim, and as a rochav of, and therefore we can guarantee that as a rochav of a tefach, and we imagine as if it was square. Okay, then, so those are the kulos of Rabbi Yehuda. But then we had some problematic koros situation. One was where the korah went from one side, from one kosel, and it didn't reach all the way to the other kosel, and there was more than three tvachim of airspace. Or he had two koros, one coming from the right going to the left, and the other from the left going to the right, and they didn't touch each other, and they were less than three tvachim apart, one from the other. I'm sorry, they were more than three tvachim apart, one from the other. In those cases, he's got to replace the korah with a second korah. And the reason for that is because a korah has to go from one wall to the other wall. And here, in a case where there's a separation of three tvachim of airspace, it doesn't go from one wall to the other. So that was something we discussed. And then we finally discussed the case of a mat where he tries to make a mechitza and he throws the mat over the korah, and the airspace between the end of this mat and the ground is three tvachim or more, then korah ein kan and mechitza ein kan. Mimanafshach, he messed up on both counts. He doesn't have neither a korah because he completely covers the korah, so it's not nikar, it cannot be seen. And he doesn't have a mechitza because a mechitza has to close off an area. So if the mat reaches below 3 tefachim, let's say 2.9 tefachim, then we apply the principle of lavud and we see it as a closed area. And then the mavui is completely enclosed, and that's fine. But if it's 3 tefachim of airspace between the end of the mat and the ground, then we have what's called gedim bokimbo. You know, a small goat could break through there, and therefore it's not considered enclosed. So today we want to start with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and it's about one third of the way down from the top. And here's what we have. Pachos me'arba. Until now we've been assuming that the distance between the airspace, between one korah coming this way and the other korah coming that way, or between the korah and the other kosel, was up to 3 tefachim. When it hits 3 tefachim, then it's no longer lavud. But Rav Shimon Gamliel has a different opinion about lavud, and he thinks that lavud allows you to go as far as 4 tefachim are concerned. So again, the airspace according to Rav Shimon Gamliel would depend upon 3.99 tefachim or 4 tefachim. If it's 4 tefachim, then you can no longer apply the principle of lavud. But if it's less than 4 tefachim, 3.9 as we said, then Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that it's lavud. So pachos me'arba, if it's less than 4 tefachim of a distance, ein tzarech lahavi korah cheres. Then, since lavud would apply up to 4 tefachim, and he has less than a 4 tefachim airspace, we can apply lavud, and therefore he doesn't have to replace this korah. But arba, if it reaches 4 tefachim of an airspace of a distance, tzarech lahavi korah acheres, this korah is not valid. Okay, now we have another din, and this is called v'chein shtei koros hamatimos. Now, what happens is that until now he put up 2 koros, one from the right going left and the other left to right. Now, he's got 2 koros that go straight across from one kosel to the other, but neither of them has the shear of a tefach. So the question is, can we combine these 2 beams and make them into one in order to set up a shear of a tefach? So let's imagine that one beam has 0.5 and the other beam has 0.5. He says, lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach. Neither one of these 2 beams individually has the size, the width of being able to hold on to the ariach. It means neither of them have a tefach. And here, the Braisa tells us that it depends. We might be able to salvage this situation, even though each korah is minus a tefach, is less than a tefach. In makablos ariach l'rachbo. Okay, now, until now, when we've been talking about the ariach, this half brick, as we called it, the half brick was going to the width, right? I'm sorry. Start again. Until now, until this juncture, we've been talking about a brick that goes to the length. Now, if you put the brick on the length. Right, then it has a length of 1.5 tefachim. But now, what we're going to do is we're going to shift the brick and we're going to put it on its width. Okay, I had a diagram here, but now I'm not finding it. Okay. Yeah. So the width of a half brick was 1.5 tefach. The length was 3 tefachim. So in other words, we're talking about a brick that's a rectangle, so its length is greater than its width. It's not a square. So he says the following. In mekablos ariach l'rachbo, ein tzarech lahavi korach cheres, it's kosher, v'im lav, tzarech lahavi korach cheres. Okay, so we're talking about l'rachbo, correct? So l'rachbo which means that the width is 1.5. So now imagine that you would attach these two koros together. Each korah has, let's say, 0.5 of a tefach. Together they have one tefach. So if you're placing the half brick on its width, then it could hold this brick because you now have a total of a tefach, and we said that a tefach could hold a brick that is 1.5 tefachim wide. But if after you combine these two beams, you still will not get a width of one tefach, then it's invalid. You're going to have to bring another korah to replace these two. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, you don't need to have the width of a tefach, but rather, just 1 second, let me just put this down here, sorry. But rather, im mekablos ariach li arko shlosha ein tzarch lahavi kora acheres. So what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is that instead of placing this half brick to its width, we're going to place it to its length. And when you place it to its length, that's called Ariach Lerachbo. Just a second. I'm sorry. That's called Ariach Learko. Now, the length of this half a brick is 3 tefachim. The width, we said, was 1.5. When you stretch it out on its length, then these two koros, even though they don't have the width of a tefach, they will still be able to hold on to this half a brick, which is situated to its length. Because obviously the length is of these koros is much greater than 3 tefachim. In fact, we said that a mavi is 4 amos wide, so the koros have to be, you know, more than 4 amos in their length. So if you would put a brick on and lay it to its length, then even though it does not have the width of a tefach, nevertheless, it's able to hold the Ariach to its length, and therefore Ein Tzarch Lavi Korach Cheres. Now, what's V'im Lav? V'im Lav, if these two beams cannot hold on to a brick that's lying on its length, which is 3 tefachim long, then what's going to happen is Tzarch Lahavi Korach Cheres. So let me try to see if I can understand what's going on here. When is the Korah Posel according to Rav Shimon Gamliel? The problem is going to be if the distance between one Korah and the other is more than 3 tefachim, right? Because then, you know, when you have this korah that's 3 tefachim long, it's going to mamish fall through the cracks, almost literally. It's going to fall through the beams. So again, you have two parallel koros. According to the first opinion, the Tanakhama, this situation will only be valid if the total combination of width in these two koros is equal to one tefach. And that's because you are situating the brick to its width, and the width of the brick we said was 1.5. So if you have a tefach, then it's able to hold that width. Comes along Rav Shimon Gamliel and he says, no, I'm not makpid. I don't care, and I don't demand that each one of these koros be 0.5, so that the total is one tefach. Let's say it's less than a tefach. But what we do have is a close proximity between these two beams. And that proximity is such that it will allow you to turn the brick to its length, and it will not fall between the cracks. Why? Because the length of the brick is 3 tefachim, and when you turn it to the other side, then since there's no space of 3 tefachim between the two bricks, those bricks will hold up. There's no space of 3 tefachim between the beams. Those beams will now hold up the brick. Now, all of this discussion is when you have two beams that are on the same level, they're on the same height, right, attached to the two walls, the coastal here and the coastal there. But im hayu achas lemala v'achas lemata, what if one korah is higher up and the other is lower down? So then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Roen es al yona ki ilu hilamata, ves atachtona ki ilu hilamala. We view it as if, again that concept of Roem ki ilu, as if they were situated one next to the other, at the same height, and as if they were near each other, and therefore, in that imaginary Ilu Haya, right, Roem Ki Ilu Haya, then the brick would be able to sit on these two koros. Even though in the present situation that's obviously impossible because one is higher than the other. Ubilvad, but of course, he adds the obvious condition, and that is Shalote El Yona Lamala Me'esrim Amo. Vatachtona Lamata Me'asora. What that means is that a korah, if you recall from the first Mishnah, cannot be higher than 20 amah from the ground. And now we need the top korah and we need the bottom korah. So the top korah can't be above 20 amah, and the bottom korah cannot be lower than 10 tefachim, because a korah that's below 10 tefachim is invalid. And the reason for that is because just like you have a shear of mechitza, right? The minimum size or height, I should say, of a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim. So too, the minimum height of a korah has to be at least 10 tefachim. I mean, that could be perhaps because a korah also might be serving as a mechitza. So that's what we have here. Now, I want to read to you a summary of the machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel. In these cases of koros hamatimos, that you have two koros that are on the same height. He says the following. L'dasa Tanakama, dafka im ha-koros nogos zubazu v'yesh b'rochvam tefach, kosher. What we have to do now is we have to apply some of the conditions to the discussions that we had yesterday to this case today of Shtei Koros Hamatimos. And that one of those conditions is that if you have two koros, then they have to be connected to each other. Again, in the case that we had yesterday, the koros were coming from two different sides. Here, the koros are simply one next to the other, but they have to touch each other according to the Tanakhama. And then you'll have a width of one tefach. The chiddush is that even though each individual beam is lacking a width of a tefach, we can combine them together, but that's only because of nogo, sakoro, zubazu, they're touching each other. And let's say they were separated by 2.9 tefachim, which is normally lavud, that's not going to help you at all. They actually have to be touching each other. Because the whole concept of a korah is that it has to serve as a heker of what we call kvius, that there's been like some permanent structural change affected to this mavui. And if they don't have a tefach, that's not called heker kvius. And how do they get a tefach? Because they're touching each other. So you have two beams that are touching each other, they're considered like one beam of a tefach. However, he quotes a Rashba here. Afilu im ein bohem yachad rochav tefach, kigon shekol achas mehem rechava reva tefach. Let's say each one of these two beams are a quarter of a tefach. V'yesh beinehem rochav chatzi tefach. And the distance between them is half a tefach, kosher. The Rashba says that you can add a reva tefach and a reva tefach to each beam, plus the space of a half a tefach, and now you have a full tefach, and it's kosher. Even though they're not no-go zubazu. And the reason for that is because when we define the requirements of a korah, what we need is that a riach omed aleha, that you're going to be able to put a brick, a half brick, on top of them, and it will stand. It will be upheld. And here, the two koros, despite the fact that there's an airspace between them that separates, nevertheless, they can hold on to this ariach. But again, that's only because the airspace is a chatzi tefach. If the airspace would be a full tefach, again, I'm not sure exactly, just one second, why does it have to be a half a tefach? Let's say it was a full tefach. Okay, that I don't know. Now he quotes a Magid Mishnah, Shetzorach she'eba en yachtov rochav tefach, ach Afilu, maybe this is our understanding. Afilu yesh b'neim revach yoser mitefach, kol zman she'ein b'neim shlosha tefachim, hareze kosher. The Rambam says that on the one hand, he's not going to go as far as the Rashba and validate two koros, each of which have a width of a quarter of a tefach. That far the Rambam is not willing to go. He's definitely requiring that each one of these koros individually has a half a tefach, so that yachtov, they have a rochav of a tefach. But on the other hand, whereas the Rashba said that the airspace between the two koros was a half a tefach, a half a tefach, the Rambam is going to offer an alternative, that even if the space between them is more than a tefach, as long as there's no space of three tefachim, it's kosher. And again, what the Rambam is introducing here is the length of the brick, right? We said that the length of the brick was three tefachim. Am I correct? So that if you have less than an airspace of three tefachim, the Rambam holds that you can still, these two koros could still hold up a half a brick, but only because you can imagine the brick going in lengthwise. That's what I think the Rambam is saying. Okay, now let's talk about the case that we discussed earlier where one kor is on top and the other is on the bottom. The kor on top has to be below, right, less than 20 amma from the ground. The bottom one has to be above 10 tefachim. And now, let's quote a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that what is the maximum distance between the top korah, the higher korah, and the lower korah? It's got to be less than three tefachim. So if the higher korah, that's the korah el yonah, which is again below 20 amma, but it's only a little bit below 20 amma, and the tachtona is way, way, way below it, then you can't pull this Rohan Ke'ilu business. But if it's smucha, it's only lower by 2.9 tefachim, then he says, HaTachtona tiye smucha lo betok shlosha tefachim legova zeh, wherever the gova is of the top beam, the tachtona has a gova that is just shy of that height by 2.9 tefachim. Im tiye hatachtona begova shel lemala mi'esrim tefachim mi'at. Or in the opposite case, let's say that the lower beam is like 10 tefachim 0.1 in its height from the ground, is then gam elyona tzricha liyos smucha lo begova zeh, the elyona, the top, higher beam has to be very close in its proximity to the lower beam. Vatam, the reason for this is mishum she'ein omrim bedover she'rochvo pochos mitefach. Just 1 second. What do we say over here? We said that if we have achas lemala v'achas lemata, is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah omer roen es ha'elyona ki'ilu hi lemata v'satachtona ki'ilu hi lemala. What's the width of each one of these koros? I'm going to assume, and you could disagree with me on this point, but I'm assuming this is going back to the original discussion that we started with, that lo bizu kedei lekabel ariach v'lo bizu kedei lekabel ariach. That each one of these two koros is less than a tefach wide. So now we're going to imagine that they were on the both on the same level, which they aren't in reality. And not only that, but we're going to imagine that they are attached to each other, at least according to the sheet of the Chachamim. And leave out Rav Shimon Gamliel for a moment. So he says, Hatam mishum she'ein omrim bidover sherochvo pochos mitefach. Yeah, he's learning that each one of these two beams is less than a tefach wide, and we don't say chavot rami. Chavot rami means we could push something down and imagine that it's resting on a lower height. Raktin lovud nemar bozeh kidei liros esakor elyona ki ilu himunachas bitzad hatachtona. So again, what's the distance between the two koros? We said it has to be maximum 2.9 tefachim. Correct? Shiyu smuchos begovam zulazu betoch shlosha. Okay? So that the distance between one korah and the other is less than 3 tefachim, which would either mean that we have to make sure that the tachtona is very high, you know, to reach within 3 tefachim of the elyona, or the other way around, that the elyona is very low, within 3 tefachim of the tachtona. And why not apply the principle of chavot rami, that even if the distance between them is greater than 3 tefachim, we could apply this principle of chavot, imagine that it's lowered down. Hashpel osam ki'ilu hu munach lamato. And that din is not going to apply here, but only the din of love it is going to apply, in order to see that these two koros are imagine them to be situated one next to the other, so that that we have another condition here that's being added. And again, this is all based on the fact that each one of these two koros has less than the width of a tefach. So I don't know what would be the deal if, let's say, each one of these two koros was a tefach wide. So then, if each one of the two koros was this was a simple mistake on my. If each one of the two koros was a tefach wide, then I don't need two koros. All I need is one korah. I mean, you can choose whichever korah you like, the low one or the higher one. It makes no difference. The mavui is equipped with a kosher korah. The answer is that each korah in and of itself is inefficient because it's less than a tefach. As a result of that fact, we're going to have to combine the two koros together, and we're going to apply the principle of lavud. But now if you're going to apply the principle of lavud, then you have to guarantee that the distance between each one of these koros is max 2.9 tefachim, so that then I can apply the principle of lavud.
When you say the 2.9, that's vertical as opposed to the horizontal?
Well, again, if you can watch my hands over here, if that makes any sense, I've got two beams, right? One higher, one lower. So if I would draw a straight line, it wouldn't be straight, it would be balakson, how do you call that in English? You know, a
diagonal.
A diagonal, right. So that diagonal line would have to be maximum, you know, I call it 2.9, so that now we can view the space between them as if it's closed, which is called lavud, and then you can add the half a tefach of this korah to the half a tefach of that korah, so that you have a full tefach. But he's bothered by another question, and that's called chavot rami. Now, let me ask you this, Steve. If let's say... In my case, you would move the higher one to the same level as the lower one. Would that line be shorter than the what was the word you used before?
Yeah, it would be shorter than the diagonal.
Diagonal, right? Okay.
The diagonal is the longest between the two of them.
So that's what he's asking here. Why is it that the diagonal has to be maximum 2.9? When the line between the two of them, if they were on the straight level, would be, let's say, if the diagonal was 3 point, if it was three tefachim, so there's no lavud, but the line, if they were on the same level, would be, I don't know, what do we want to call it, 2.5, whatever it is. Why isn't that enough for lavud? Now, you might ask me, well, what right do I have to lower the higher Korah and equal it on the same level and the same height? And the answer is that's called Chavot Rami. But he says that in this case, we cannot apply Chavot Rami because the width of each Korah is less than a Tefach. So you've got a half a Tefach and a half a Tefach. So those two half a Tefachs cannot be brought to the same level through Chavot Rami to lower it. And the only halacha that we can apply is that diagonal line, which, as we said before, is based on Lovud and it's 2.9. He doesn't tell you exactly why Chavot Rami does not apply in this case. He doesn't give you a clue. He just tells you that since the width of each one of these two koros is less than a tefach, therefore, you cannot apply the principle of Chavot Rami. All right, let's see if we can make some progress in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar lo kavua bechado, pligi ale bechado. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we could view, we can imagine, so to speak, the higher Korah as if it was connected to the lower Korah in order to get that Tefach, as long as the higher Korah is not above 20 Amma, he holds like Ke'oviv, like Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so Rabbi Yossi agrees to his father's position, Rabbi Yehuda's position, in another din. In one particular din, but Poligalei Bechad, but he disagrees with him in another particular din. Savralahu Kavua Bechada. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda now in Mishnah, who says the Islay Roim. Right, that we could always imagine, you know, two Koros, in this case, that as if they were next to each other. And if you remember that Rabbi Yehuda said that if you need a strong korah that's made of metal, even if this korah is made of straw, we said roim, we could imagine that it's metal. But poligale bechada, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one din, deilu Rabbi Yehuda, his father Rabbi Yehuda says, savar, that a korah is kshera even lamala me'esrim. Ah, that goes back to the first Mishnah. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can have a korah that's above 20 amma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar v'toch esrim in lamala me'esrim lo. He holds that the chachamim are right, and we can accept their halacha that the maximum height of a korah is got to be, we'll call it 19.9 ammas, but not 20 amma. So, you know, we don't have to go over that whole sugya of lamala me'esrim, but let's just take a quick peek at the Mishnah. Let's see if I can find it. Ah. Right, Mavui Shehu Gavol Lamala Me'esrim Amma Yemait, Rabbi Yehudomer, Einot Sarich. You don't have to be memaided. Well, this had to do, if I remember correctly, with the Pesach. The Pesach of the Ulam, right? Which is the... Ah, right. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav at the beginning of the Masechta, Chachomim lo lamdua el mi pischo shel heichal. So the Pesach, the open way, the entrance way into the heichal, was 20 amma high, and that's called a Pesach. But there's no such thing as a Pesach that's higher than 20 amma. Rabbi Yehuda, he holds his Pesach even above 20 amma. Lo lamda el mi pischo shel ulam. So the Pesach of the Ulam was higher than 20 Amah. And that's also called the Pesach. The Snan, we have a Mishnah Midos, Pischo Shel Heichal Govo Esrim Amah, Mishal Ulam Govo Arboim Amah. Okay. So that's a very interesting point that the Gemara is making here about Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava Afal Pisha Eina Bria. So we have now Machlokus between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda as to what material the Korah is made of. Masni La Rabbi Yehuda Lechia Barav. So Rabbi Yehuda was teaching Chia Barav. Kameh De Rav, in the presence of Rav. Rechava afal pisha ena bria, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be made of straw. Omale, so Rav turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, Asne, teach that to my son, Chia. Rechava ubria, teach the following, I should say, to my son. You need both Rechava and bria. So the Gemara asks, is that Rav Shita that you need a Korah that's also very strong? Va'amar Rabbi Eloi, Amar Rav. We have a statement in the name of Rav. Rechava arba afal pisha eina bria. That what we need here is a Korah that's four tfachim wide, which I don't know. Please remind me if we've ever encountered such a shita. I don't remember that. We spoke about a pas, if you remember, in a chatzer that has to be four tefachim wide. I don't remember that we spoke about a korah that has to be four tefachim wide. Anyway, afal pisha ain't a bria. Rav says it doesn't have to be straw. It doesn't have to be made of wood or metal or anything like that. And the answer is rechava arba shiny. So what is the width of this Korah? Is it a tefach or is it four tefachim? If it's four tefachim, then that compensates for the fact that it's made of straw. And it's ain't a bria, and nevertheless it's kshera. But a Korah, which is less than four tefachim, let's say it's one tefach wide, that's when Rav insists that it has to be bria, and which is what Rav told Rav Yehuda. Now, hoisa shel kash, or shel konim, the Mishnah says that if this korah is made of what? Of straw or reeds, then, according to Rav Yehuda, we see it as if it was made of metal. Maika mashmalon, the amrinan roim, hainu hach. Why do you have to tell me twice that we have this principle of roim? We're going to apply the principle of roim according to Rabbi Yehuda. Just one second. In the previous din. One second. What are the two cases? Just one second. Was it less than a tefach? What was, wait, just one second, sorry. Is Rabbi Yehuda says, Rechav afal pishen abriya. Oh, I see. What the Gemara is asking is, you see the word roim twice. No. Scratch that. You see the application of roim twice. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda first says rechav afal pishen abriya, and then he says hoisa shel kash v'shel konim roin osaki iluhi mateches. So once we said afal pishen abriya, then why does he repeat himself by saying, well, it's made of kash or it's made of konim? Now we imagine it was made of metal. Mao de tema, I might think that only a korah bimina, Korach hazok asuya lahachzik ariach. Kigon korach shel eitz. Sheyesh b'mina koros asuyos lahachzik ariach. Is afilu miniach korach eino chazoka amin and roim. Notice, as long as he's using that kind of material, which could possibly be used under normal circumstances to hold on to the bricks, then we could apply roim even if he has that material, but it's weak. But if he has a different material, like kash or kanim, shalo b'mina, that it could never be strong enough to hold up bricks, is lamrina. Maybe I would think that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we cannot apply the principle of roim, ka mashmalan. So the Mishnah wants to teach the chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda would go as far as to apply roim even if the min itself is made of straw or reeds, and it's not even feasible, it's not possible to make it strong. Now, in effect, what the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Yehuda is going to apply roim twice in this case. First of all, he's going to apply roim to imagine that it was strong enough to hold on to a brick, hold up a brick. And number two, he's going to tell you that we imagine that it's not this material. It was made of a material that could be strong. Akuma. Roim osaki iluhi pshuta. So we have an archway, and that certainly cannot hold up a brick. But we can imagine as if it was stretched out flat. So the Gemara says pshita. In other words, once you apply roim and you have a weak kora, you imagine as if it was a strong kora. So here too, we should apply the principle of roim and assume that even though it's round, I can imagine that it was flat. The Gemara answers, "Kam mashmalon kid Rabbi Zera," that this din was written in the Mishnah in order to give me the chiddush of Rabbi Zera. And now we're going to talk about a korah sha'akmu misa hoisa chutz lemavui. So we'll try to figure that out as we go along. Kid Rabbi Zera, Deomer Rabbi Zera, he betoch hamavui. If this arched, roundish beam that was put in the entrance of the mavui is he betoch hamavui. In other words, the korah itself stretches from one end of the entrance to the other end of the entrance. V'akmu misa michutz lemavui. So that we're no longer talking about an archway that goes high, so the korah all of a sudden rises above, but rather the korah is flat. It's the same exact korah, but it's not standing upright, but rather it's standing on the ksolim with the archway in one of two directions, in one of two, right? You can flip it this way or flip it that way. So if you flip it one way, it's the archway is betocha mavui. If you flip it the other way, the archway, which is called Akvuminis, is outside of the Mavui. So Rabbi Zera says the following, it matters not. Why? He betoch ha-mavui akvumisa chutz la-mavui, if the round part is outside of the two walls of the Mavui, that means it's out of the Mavui. Or, alternatively, he betoch esrim ama. V'yakmu misa lemala me'esrim ama. Right, so let's say he puts up, like we said before, the the arch is on top, and not only is it on top, but it shoots up above Esrim Amma. So the Korah itself is situated below Esrim Amma, but the archway in the middle of this Korah rises above Esrim Amma. It's a high riser. Now we have another case. Hila Malame Asara. The Korah itself is above 10 Tfachim from the Karka. But Akmu Misa, but the archway dips below. Right, so this is a third case that, right, so we have the case where the archway was above, we have the archway was flat, you know, going up towards the inside of the Mavi, the outside of the Mavi. Now we have a case where the archway is turned inwardly, and it's below Asar Tvachim. Is Rowan Kol Elu, Kol She'ilu Natal, Akmu Misa, V'ein Bein Zela Zeh, Shlosha, Ein Tzarech Lohavi, Korach Heres, V'im Lav Tzarech Lohavi, Korach Heres. So in all these cases, Rabbi Zera said, we see it as if you would take away the Akmimus of this Korah, and what would you be left with? Ein bein zela ze shlosha tfachim. So the two parts of the Korah, if you just simply chop off the archway, are not separated by three tfachim. So if I understand correctly, it means it's a very narrow archway. Is then ein tzarch lavi korach cheres? Now we're going to apply the din of lavud, and we're going to imagine this as if the korah was attached from one side to the other, and the akmimus was completely removed. So, if that case, then the mavui is the korah is inside the mavui. So let's go through the cases again. The first case was that it is flat on its side, and the ukmimus is outside of the mavui. So that's not a problem. Why? Because we can imagine that the ukmimus is not there, and the distance between the two koros, which are both inside the mavui, is less than three tfachim. So we have a kind of a lavud situation. Now we have a case where the akmimus goes above Esrim Amma. That's not a problem either, because imagine flattening out, you know, chopping off this round arch on top, and everything is within Esrim Amma. Now, what do we have? The third case was that the mavui itself is above 10 tfachim, and the archway is below 10 tfachim. That's also okay. Why? Because we're going to imagine that the archway is not there. Kilu yinotel. So basically, what's common to all these three cases, these three scenarios of Rabbi Zera, is that the sawtooth, so to speak, here, the problematic part of this mavu, of this korah, is the akmumisa. Either because the akmumisa is chutz l'mavui, or because the Akma Misa is above Esrim Amma, or because the Akma Misa is below Asar Tvach. So in all these three cases, we can just imagine as if the Akma Misa was gone. It doesn't exist. And we have Lavud, because the two other halves of this Korah are less than three Tvachim apart. Vim lav. But if we would imagine taking away, chopping away the akvumisa, then the distance between the two parts of the korah that remain is three tfachim, or more than three tfachim, is then tsarch lavi korah koracheres. Then the korah is possible. And now we go back to our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Yehuda had a din of Akuma, and Rono Saki L'Pshuta. That was Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush, that we see it as Pshuta. And that's not the same din of Roim that we had before. Before we had a din of Roim, and we imagined that a weak material is strong material. It could hold a brick. But now we're saying something totally different. Now we're saying we imagine as if this Akmumis didn't exist at all. So the Gemara is not happy with that. Why? Hanami Pshita. That even this din that we can chop off the korakuma and you have less than three tfachim between the two, that's also poshut. I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara thinks that that's so poshut, but anyway, now the Gemara answers he betoch mavui adaraba. In the case where the Akmumis was outside the Mavi, that was the first of the cases, correct? Itzrichle. We need Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush of Roim. Why? Because the halacha of Rabbi Zera in Korah was he betoch Mavui v'akmumisa chutz l'mavui. Okay. Ma'odetem, I might think, lechush, we should be afraid, dilma osilim shuche basra, that in the case of this Korah, shema yimshoch achrea v'yitaltel michutz l'mavui, ad mokum akmimisa. In other words, he sees the mavui with its Korah, and he walks down the Mavui, he gets to the end of the Mavui, and he sees that beyond the end of the Mavui, there's still this Sakmumisa. So he's tempted to go beyond that. And then he's carrying outside the Mavui, Kamash Balan. That's when the Mishnah wants to come to Mechadishmi, that this Korah is Kshera, and we're not afraid that he's going to walk all the way to the outskirts, the edges of this Sakmumisa, of this round part, of the Kosel.